from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. This is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks. Today, we'll discuss a pending mine in West River and local efforts to prevent it from happening. We'll also look at what's at stake for two school districts in the state facing penalties. It's Wednesday, December 17th. Here are today's stories. Several plots of land could be annexed by the Black Hills City of Piedmont. It's the latest effort activists and city leadership say could slow a seemingly imminent mine near the city. SDPB CJ Keene reports.
A full crowd came to the Tuesday night Piedmont City Board of Trustees meeting, though no formal action has been taken on the annexation proposal. The proposed limestone mine, which has already received much of the proper paperwork, is slated to be located very close to residential areas, essentially on the border of Piedmont city limits. In total, nine landowners representing over a dozen lots ranging in size have requested full annexation into the community. Given the prominence and location of said lots, city leadership say this move could meaningfully slow the development of the mine. The general reception of this mine was best exemplified by Board President Phil Anderson probing his community.
Let's just kind of hear both sides of it. Everybody that's in favor of this mine, please stand and we'll hear from some of you guys.
Wait, that's not fair. Now we're
Much ado has been made about the potential negative health, ecological, and economic impacts of having limestone mining this close to residential homes. However, one resident, Chris Greenberg, says talk will only get the community so far without collective action.
The problem we all have is this. We can all talk about what is bothering us. The city only has so much that they can do. The county is not going to help us because of state law. We can rant and rave about air, we can rant and rave about it, but there's only so much that they can do. So I'm saying that this is big business. And the big business, that they care about what?
Themselves.
They care about themselves, don't they? They can tell us they're going to put, if you put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig, right? So we have to stay together and band together. We're not quitting.
Two local lawmakers, State Representative Kathy Rice and State Senator John Carley, were in attendance to discuss the matter and provide updates on their efforts looking forward. In total, no fewer than three bills are in the works for the upcoming legislative session aiming to halt this mine as of today. Further, they and other local activists are planning on a legislative day to bring awareness to this mine. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene in Piedmont.
Thousands of dollars are at stake for two school districts while a conflict unfolds over accountability measures in state law. The State School Finance Accountability Board is holding its ground after lawmakers rejected its recommendations a couple weeks ago. South Dakota statute sets spending and saving parameters for school districts. When they don't hit minimum or maximum financial numbers, they can face sanctions from the state, including financial penalties, a financial review conducted by the Department of Education, or full or partial waivers. That's what could happen to the Frederick area and Miller school districts. The Accountability Board initially recommended a partial waiver and a fiscal penalty of 10% the excess amount for both the Frederick area and Miller school districts. Both stand to lose thousands of dollars in state general aid for the 2026 fiscal year. But legislative appropriators disagreed, instead voting for waivers for both and sending the matter back to the School Finance Accountability Board. Jim Terwilliger is the commissioner of South Dakota's Bureau of Finance and Management, as well as a member of the School Finance Accountability Board. He motioned to send the original recommendations for Frederick area and Miller school districts back to appropriators.
I think we had a good process when we met originally.
Terwilliger added, while he understands where appropriators are coming from,
I think we took into consideration there was some circumstances I think we could have done. You know, the full penalty would have been pretty significant. So I think we backed off it and took that in consideration quite a bit. And I think with some additional context.
While the recommendation now heads back to the Appropriations Committee to review, the School Finance Accountability Board said it's unsure where the issue goes from here. One member of the board said it could be a back-and-forth deal from here. The world premiere of an hours-long piano sonata is set for tomorrow in Brookings. Telef Johnson, a Brookings High School graduate and renowned pianist, will perform Piano Sonata 5 by English composer Sarabji. The marathon performed will span over 7 hours with 2 half-hour intermissions. Johnson first recorded Piano Sonata 5 in installments a year ago on the same stage where he will attract global attention for the latest feat.
What I'm bringing to Brookings is the spectacle, the concept of something new, something that they can discover, and in fact, they can be the first to hear it, you know, and I like that. I like seeing Brookings as a satellite location or maybe a key component to this bigger, large-scale project, which seems to stretch many medias and many layers.
Johnson's performance will begin at 10 tomorrow morning in the Founders Recital Hall at the Oscar Larson Performing Arts Center on SDSU's campus. It's free, and attendees are welcome to stay for some or all of the 430-page sonata. To learn more about Johnson's preparation for the performance, listen to today's In the Moment podcast or visit sdpb.org. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, is awarding nearly $5 million in solid waste infrastructure for recycling grants to Rapid City. The EPA says the grants help improve post-consumer materials management and infrastructure. Rapid City is one of 17 local governments in the country selected for the funding. Rapid City's funds will support the opening of a new commercial recycling program and update equipment. The EPA says those improvements will double recycling rates and improve the quality of materials collected in Rapid City. The solid waste infrastructure for recycling grants are part of a federal initiative to help local governments upgrade recycling programs and waste management systems. They also aim to support economic development nationally. The South Dakota Division of Criminal Investigation determines a Beresford Police Department officer was justified in his use of force in a November incident. The officer stopped Christopher John Pearson for a traffic violation in Beresford. The DCI says when the officer approached the vehicle, he detected the smell of alcohol and saw an open container. The Attorney General's office says Pearson was compliant at first, but became more combative once he left the vehicle as instructed. The officer pushed Pearson towards the patrol vehicle, and Pearson slammed his fist on the hood of the patrol vehicle. After being placed under arrest, Pearson took the officer's handcuffs and walked back to his vehicle. The AG's office says Pearson refused the officer's commands and did not stop after the officer fired his taser at Pearson twice. When Pearson reached his vehicle, he took a pistol out and pointed it at the officer. The officer fired his weapon, killing Pearson. A link to the full DCI summary can be found at sdpb.org/news. Blue Peak Internet is expanding its investment in South Dakota's broadband infrastructure to the tune of $150 million. This is the second phase of a multi-million dollar investment in the state. The funds will support the expansion of fiber internet to more homes and businesses in the state over multiple years. To date, the company has invested more than $95 million in Sioux Falls, Rapid City, Vermilion, and surrounding communities. Blue Peak says the second phase will increase their reach from 55,000 residents to more than 175,000. The company says the areas will experience faster speeds, greater reliability, and capacity to meet growing digital demands. One of South Dakota's own is competing for a spot in the 2026 Paralympic Games. Danae Russell is a snowboarder from Sturgis. Since 2019, she's competed in border cross and bank slalom. This year may be her biggest yet as she fights for a place on the 2026 USA Paralympic team. SDPB's Delaney LaHood-Burns reports.
Danae Russell grew up snowboarding on the slopes of Terry Peak and Lee Deadwood. Following a cancer diagnosis in 2013, Russell underwent an above-the-knee leg amputation, but her battle with cancer didn't stop her from pursuing the sport she loves.
Snowboarding is so freeing for me. I can't even fully explain it, but when I strap in, my heart is at ease. My soul is filled with peace. It just feels so natural.
The 2026 Winter Paralympic Games are taking place in Italy this March, and Russell hopes to be there. First, she has to compete on the World Cup circuit with events across Europe, Canada, and the U.S.
There is already one spot filled for the women's LL1, which is the category that I'm in as an above-the-knee amputee, and so there's one spot left. So I'm just fighting for that spot, and it's definitely motivating to keep working hard and taking advantage of every second we have on snow.
Adding even more to the challenge, Russell says the International Paralympic Committee has chosen to combine the women's LL1 and LL2 snowboarding competitions. Athletes in the LL1 category have a greater degree of impairment, such as an above-the-knee amputation like Russell has. Athletes in the LL2 category have a lesser degree of impairment. That means Russell and other women in her category must compete with athletes who are more able-bodied.
We have enough athletes to have our own category, but they won't make the decision to split us back up until next year at World Championships. So for the last 4 years, we've just had to compete combined, which can really mess up our points. Like if we would have been separated, I would have had enough points to likely be on the U.S. team. And when you put thousands and thousands of dollars into training and travel and competing and everything that goes along with it, and to be held down by people that don't even understand the struggle, or really, they're not at our races. They're not seeing what we do. They're not seeing what we're doing outside of competition. And just based on what they see on paper, they're making these decisions that affect all of us.
Although she's frustrated by it, Russell says the decision to combine categories has only motivated her to work harder. After all, she's not a stranger to challenges.
From the very start of this journey, it's kind of been a constant fight. So I'm just in the mindset of no matter what gets thrown my way, I'm going to adapt and overcome. So I'm thankful that it's been hard because it's made me so strong.
Russell currently trains and competes on Team Utah, also known as the Snowbird Sports Education Foundation, or SBSEF. She says the community that she's built with her teammates has been essential to her success as an athlete.
We have really become a family over the years, and we are competitive, but we also, at the end of the day, know that we're all trying our best, and we all just continue to cheer each other on through the good and the bad. And I've honestly learned so much being able to compete with other amputees before I got into the sport. I didn't know what was normal and not normal with my prosthetics and what they were supposed to be like or not be like. And I've learned so much on the prosthetic side, but also on like the physical and mental side of things, that it is something that I'm eternally grateful for.
Another piece to the journey Russell says she's thankful for is the financial support she's received to help alleviate the steep cost of competing at her level. In recent years, many Paralympic and Olympic athletes alike have spoken out about the financial burden required to succeed in their sport. In particular, Paralympic athletes face limited sponsorship opportunities and additional costs for prosthetics and customized sports equipment. According to Russell, a single competition season can easily cost her between $30,000 and $40,000.
No matter how much I work in the off season, I can't afford that. So it has been incredibly amazing that people have been supporting me through this for the last 4 years. And all of this is so much more than me just being a snowboarder. Like, I am constantly thinking about all of the people that have supported me along this journey. And I do not take it lightly that I literally could not be doing this without the support that I have from the people in my life.
Russell's first competition of the season was in the Netherlands in November. Next up, she'll travel to Austria, Switzerland, and Canada before returning stateside to compete at Steamboat in February. I'm SDPB's Delaney LaHood Burns.
And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News, and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.